Hey, Mama.
Hey, Mamas. Welcome to the Let Mama Live show. This is a mama's safe space to live life practicing self-care to manage stress. I am Jen Pittman, mama of two, mama of boys, mama of a teenager and a second grader, and an autism mama. Now over here, we live life with our flaws and all. This is a no judgment zone. Let Mama Live supports you in living what I call the mama lifestyle. That is where we're practicing self-care in four ways: meditation, affirmation, mindfulness, and appreciation, or some may refer to it as gratitude. Now, even though I'm over here by myself, this is not a lecture. Trust, this is a conversation. So join the conversation at letmamalive.com. All you have to do is scroll to the bottom of the page and you'll see a space there to leave a comment. Come on, mamas, let's be each other's motivation. Hey, Mama. Let's motivate each other. Welcome to my new listeners, and thank you to those who are returning. Thank you for continuing to listen. Now let's get this show started. Now, we start every show with an affirmation. It's just a play on words, just an affirmation for mamas. And then we grow from there. You never know where we go from there. But we know that it always involves Jen confessing to something.
Welcome to Confessions of a Mama.
Hey, Mama.
Yes, you will hear often, "I must confess. I must confess." That's because these affirmations come from life, my life. Comes from lessons that I learned that I feel like I need to share with you, you know, using my pain, my struggle, my learning, my lessons to empower you. That's what we're all about, motivating each other. Come on, y'all. All right. So my affirmation for this episode, we're going to stop. We're going to breathe, relax, and be ready to receive. Deep breath in and out. Here we go. I am enough. I will be mindful that my words have power. I will choose them wisely in my journey of healing. One more time for the people in the back. I am enough. I will be mindful that my words have power. I will choose them wisely in my journey of healing. Come on, y'all. It's time to heal. It's time to heal, everybody. Get your tools in place. Pull up your boots. Let's heal together. Let's motivate each other. Let's heal together. Now, I'm not going to keep you long, but I must confess.
Welcome to Confessions of a Mama.
Hey, Mama.
I must confess, this my affirmation, part of this my affirmation, I am enough. I say that with power because I mean that, man. I mean, I am enough. That part of this my affirmation is on my wall where I do most of my work at, spend most of my time. It's a reminder that I am enough because in life we have these imposters. If you've heard before, my imposter, I named Jennifer, F-A-H at the end. That's my imposter. She steps in and she wrecks shop. She don't play. If you're not careful, she'll take over. Same thing with your imposter. And so constantly, all the time, I have to remind myself that I am enough. Not just reminded. It's not just words. Because my words have power. I really believe that. I really believe that I am enough. Just got to put it into practice to make it regular way of thinking, my regular mindset. Because, hey, that imposter is out there to trick you and get you. And if you ain't careful, it will take you and drag you down. I am enough. In life, there has been a few moments that set the stage for the insecurities that I experience in life every day. And I'm not going to go into great detail about those moments. We all have those moments, whether when we were children, teenagers, college age, adults, we're still having those moments today that triggers our insecurities. and puts us in this box where we feel like we're not enough. I stop myself from sharing those moments mainly because we're trying to heal. Come on, y'all. We're trying to heal. So I'm not going to trigger myself in any way by sharing those moments, but know that they exist, and I know that they exist for you. I'm tired of running those moments over and over and over again in my mind repeatedly. Instead, I'd rather just tell myself I am enough. But you know, in those moments, the thing is, in those experiences that I've had, people have used their words against me and they actually hurt. Now, that don't mean that their intentions were bad. Maybe they had good intentions, but the delivery was off, and maybe they had bad intentions and the delivery was still off. No matter, you know, what their intentions were, I know that how those words affected me was negative. And I know that they brought me down, and I didn't have the power at that time to express that to those people. Our words have power. Our words have power, and people have to understand that their words have powers too. So when they approach other people and they address them and they think that is constructive, sometimes it may come off as destructive. But the thing is, the important thing is, what I've learned in reminding myself constantly that I am enough is that my truth carries more weight than their words. And so part of the practice of reminding myself that I am enough, part of that practice is telling truth to myself, speaking truth to myself. I don't know if any of you deal with anxiety. I haven't been like clinically diagnosed with anxiety or anything, but I experience it all the time. And there's a difference between stress and anxiety. Anxiety for me is like a perceived fear. I'm fearing something that hasn't even happened yet. I'm fearing something because of a lie that I've told myself. And so I have to practice to tell myself the truth that, you know, whatever lie that is that I'm telling myself, stop, tell yourself the truth. That's not true. And sometimes that lie you tell yourself affects the thought that I am enough. So those things kind of work together. I have to practice both. You are enough. I want you to know that you are enough. But the question is why? How do you know that you are enough? I know that I'm enough because of my heart, because of my willingness to help others, because of my passion, because of the impact that my actions have on life, on others. But, you know, if we're not careful, people will push you to believe that you are not enough. So reminding myself builds kind of like a hedge of protection, like a force field around me. When their opinions come, they bounce off, because all it is opinion. It's not fact. Remember, we're speaking truth to ourselves, and every word that comes to you from other people is not a fact. Now, you have moments where friends or loved ones are being very constructive. Nowadays, you got to watch how you say things, because I know back in the day when your mama want to get you straight, she say some things that hurt, especially a black mama. She say some things that hurt, but she means well. So we create this force field. We create this hedge of protection that, you know, keeps you from being hurt by those words and opinions that are coming from other people. They bounce off. There was a time where I had to go to coaching. I've had to get a coach before. A coach needs a coach. And in that time of coaching, I worked on creating my safe space. And it's interesting because in my time of coaching and when I have therapy, which I'm not actively currently in therapy, but I've had therapy before. So when I've experienced therapy or coaching, which I'm advocates for both, because I'm so self-aware, I tend to take the practice to a next level, to another level that the therapist or the coach is not asking. You know, I tend to just go to this next level, and I'm good at visualizing things. I stay in my head often. That's probably why I need to get up out of my head. But anyway, so in my time of coaching, you know, I'm sharing this with my coach, how I'm dealing with this imposter and some challenges that I have around it. And in practice, I ended up creating this safe space for myself. It's like a mental, visual safe space for myself. Nobody knows about it. Nobody sees it but me. It's mine. It's my safe space. And so for me, to give you a visual, mine is like a circular type structure where in my mind, I'm sitting in a chair and I'm looking at these windows that are floor to ceiling, no curtains, just floor to ceiling windows. And then in the middle of the circular room where I'm facing, there's a door with a window up at the top. And I can see things from that window. It's not like one of those windows where you have to stand on your tippy toes to see. I can clearly see out of all of these windows. And when I look out, I see all the experiences of my life. I see people, I see things, I see moments. You can see words. Anything that you experience is outside of these windows. Anything that I experience is outside of these windows. And so with my safe space, I have the power to allow things in and out of that space. Now, the interesting thing is that, you know, we talk about in and out. We are sitting in that safe space. I am sitting in that safe space with things in my mind. So that's me bringing things in. I have negative feelings, negative thoughts, insecurities, fears, any types of emotions that I carry within me. I've already allowed those things in with me. They came in hanging on me. And then the other things are sitting outside of that door. And I'm seeing them through the window. Anything that I see out there that doesn't serve me, that doesn't serve my core values, that, you know, hinders me, that holds me back, that makes me feel like I am not enough, stays outside that door. All the other supports come in. Now, when it comes to the things that I carried on me into that safe space, I've created this little box that I put on this shelf, this visual shelf in my mind. I open that box and I put those things in there, those insecurities, those fears. I put them in there because what I've learned is that some of those things I created as protection. I think we've all had some type of moment where we had to protect ourselves and we created like this armor that we put on for protection. But when we no longer need protection from whatever that experience is, you're still wearing that armor. So you're still impacted by those insecurities, that protection, whatever that armor is. And it's time to take it off. When the fear no longer exists, it's time to take it off. So I've created this little box on the shelf. I open it and I put all those things inside that box. I put the top on, I lock it up and put it on that shelf. And the only time I go and open that box is if I really, really need that protection. Until then, it stays there. So we really have to be mindful Remember, we're practicing self-care in four ways: meditation, affirmation, mindfulness, and appreciation. We have to be really, really mindful of the things that we carry and how experiences, people, things, whatever it may be, affect you. We have to affirm and practice affirming to ourselves that we are enough, keeping in mind that our words are powerful and that we will tell the truth to ourselves. Come on, y'all, tell yourself the truth. Now, when it comes to this affirmation, this affirmation, I am enough. I will be mindful of the words. I am enough. I will be mindful that my words have power. I will choose them wisely in my journey of healing. There are some things that we do because we're used to it, I think, that affects us from believing that we are enough. Our words have power. There are some actions that we partake in that leaves us feeling like we're not worthy or we're not enough. One thing that I struggle with for sure is being kind to myself or practicing self-compassion. Self-compassion for me is just being kind to myself. I often define these words because these words for me may have a different meaning for you based on your experiences. So whenever you're working on something or you're defining something or you're working through something or you're healing, give a definition to it. What does that mean to you? And when you're sharing with others, if you choose to, make sure they're clear on what that definition is for you. So I sometimes have a challenge with practicing self-compassion or kindness to myself. And when I don't practice that well, it affects me believing that I am enough. How does that look for Jennifer? For Jen, it looks like me not accepting that it's okay to make mistakes, for example. So let's say I'm working on something and I make a mistake. I'm doing something for my son. I'm making a decision for my child and I make the wrong decision. Hit my spirit because I have an example. There was one time where I made a decision about my oldest son's schools when he was little. He was little, like 3 years old, three or four. And I pulled him out of one school and put him into another school based on a suggestion by a teacher that had great intentions. But the turnout, the outcome of that decision wasn't really the best. I didn't like how things ended up a year later. So that's one of those things that I have to heal from: forgiving myself for making that decision, because all I was trying to do was help my baby. Sometimes you're not going to get it right. Learn the lesson and not make the same mistake the next time. That is an example of me practicing self-compassion. All those things I just said, it's okay to make mistakes, learn the lesson, all of that. That's me practicing self-compassion in real life, live right here. But then I beat myself up for that for years. Like, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. Oh my gosh, it's going to set us back. This did set us back, because that was when he was three and now he's about to be 16. I'm still talking about that set us back. Oh my gosh, I shouldn't have did that when he was 3 years old. Come on, Jen. Be kind to yourself. Practice that self-compassion. So I know that that's a challenge of mine. I wonder if it's a challenge of any of yours. Join the conversation. Leave a comment at letmamalive.com. But I had to start practicing that self-compassion, being kind to myself. And in that coaching, one lesson, not in coaching, but in therapy, that I've had before the coaching, I learned one lesson. And that lesson was, for me, there's no such thing, and I think for anyone, there's no such thing as a failure. There's only lessons. When we make mistakes, don't look at that as a failure. Look at that as an opportunity for growth, which is one of my core values, and an opportunity through that growth to learn a lesson. So self-compassion runs neck and neck with believing that you are enough and being mindful that your words have power. Because when you're not kind to yourself, it leads you to believe that you're not enough. It leads you to believe that you're not worthy. It leads you to believe that you're clumsy. It leads you to believe that you make bad decisions. We got to be strong now. This is a muscle. Like, this mental practice is a muscle that we have to strengthen every single day. It's like going to the gym and working out. But the great thing is that when you understand what's going on in your head and all of that great, those great things, you have more power to strengthen yourself. You know what you need to do to strengthen yourself. And that's what Let Mama Live is all about. We're doing that together. You're not alone. We're practicing that together. So no more bashing myself. I will work to choose my words wisely, and I will lean to self-compassion, which is being kind to myself. And I suggest that you do the same. I encourage you to do the same. Another thing that works kind of hand in hand with the imposter, you know, defeating that imposter and believing that you are enough, is comparison. Comparison kills y'all, but we got to work on how to kill the comparison. Let me give you a story. I must confess.
Welcome to Confessions of a Mama.
Hey, Mama.
I have fallen guilty of comparison. And the first time that I noticed that, you know, being real with myself, because I'm sure it's happened plenty of times before this moment, but the first time that I experienced that was in motherhood. I was struggling as a mom with a young child with autism. Shoot, he didn't even have the, it's not about the autism, to be honest. I was struggling as a mom with a young child, period. I had, at the time, I think I had both of my children. So I was struggling with as a mom of multiples, I was struggling. And so my role model for motherhood is my mother, my mama. My mama. Hey, mama.
Hey, mama.
She's in heaven. Rest in heaven, mama. I love you. My mama, from my point of view, was my shero, is my shero. She's still here in spirit. She managed to take care of two young girls. She was a mama of two, but she was a mama of girls. And take care of her husband who was ill and disabled. Like, he was in a wheelchair. He was wheelchair bound. Maybe that's a better word. He was bound to a wheelchair. And in my eyes, she did it flawlessly. And the interesting thing about it too, something that I just realized, because my mama just celebrated a birthday.
Hey, mama.
We just celebrated her on July 28th. The interesting thing about it is I look back and I look at how old my dad, who eventually passed away and transitioned and went to heaven as well, how old he was. And so they were around the same age, my mom and dad. They were younger than 40. They were in their 30s going through this. In their 30s. So she's, you know, a young woman with two girls, mama of two, taking care of her ill husband. And it looks like she did it flawlessly. There were ups, there were downs, but she managed that mug. She did that. And so when it became my time to be a mom of multiple, a mama of two, I saw her as my model. But I couldn't figure out how. How did she do this? How did you do this? I don't understand. How did you do this? But instead of asking, I just assumed that she made it happen. And I continued to push myself to make it happen. And then when I kept falling mentally, emotionally, physically falling, I had to call her and ask, like, how did you do this? And her response was, I did it with help. I wasn't by myself. I had family that helped me. You don't have to do all of this by yourself. But because I was comparing myself to her and trying to live up to her level of motherhood, I was falling trying to do it by myself. Now, granted, I had my husband, but a lot of those times I didn't have him present because he was deployed in the military for years at a time or months at a time. Both months and years. So a lot of times I was doing it by myself. And then, you know, most of those times I had his help, but it was so hard. I was comparing myself to her. I felt victim to that comparison. Started to believe that I couldn't do it, that I wasn't enough. And that negative mindset crept in. We do it often with social media. Often with social media, we go online and we compare ourselves to other mamas. Other mamas have this fabulous, you know, visual of their families and they look happy and they look like they're, nothing is going on. And then you look at your life and you like, I'm in sweats and you know, a t-shirt and my hair is all over the place and my house is a mess. And, you know, my kids, you know, they're fed, but they might not be fed the healthiest thing in the world. And then you're comparing yourself to these people on Instagram or TikTok or whatever the platform may be, feeling like you're not enough. Stop comparing yourself. Comparison kills, mamas. Hey, mamas.
Hey, mama.
Comparison kills. So let's stop letting comparison kill us and work to kill comparison. By reminding ourselves, growing to understand, growing to live, growing to practice that I am enough, choosing to use our words wisely and understanding that our words have power. We can do this, y'all. We can do this. We can do this. All we have to do is just start with our words. Let's just start there, y'all. Start with our words. We're all in this together. Hey, mamas.
Hey, mama.
Start with our words. We can do this. Believe and speak that you are enough. I am enough. Create this safe space to help you heal, for healing. Make sure you're blocking stuff that ain't supposed to be in that space. Come on, y'all. I'm feeling it. It's hit my spirit. And then through self-compassion, be kind to yourselves, be kind to ourselves, and kill comparison. Let's stop comparing ourselves. We are enough. Our words have power. We will be mindful that through our journey of healing, this is a practice that we have to strengthen, and we will strengthen. We choose to strengthen. It's a choice. Make the right one. Come on. All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Be sure to join in by going to letmamalive.com, scrolling to the bottom and leaving your comment right there. So I don't like to keep you guys long, you know, 30, 45 minutes, maybe, is good enough for me. And I think it's great for you. And it's an opportunity to listen while you're in your car for a short period of time. Hey, go do your workout, get this, you know, get the listening while you're working out, whatever it may be. So I'm going to start to wrap things up and close things up. And so how we close every episode is with our mama moment. Our mama moment is a question. It's a question and answer situation. Some of these questions are random. They may not have to do with our conversation. But they have to do with life, just random questions about life. And so actually these questions come from a book that I found called 3,000 Questions About Me. They're not paying me for promoting their book, but it's called 3,000 Questions About Me. And so what I do is I took some of these questions, you hear it shaking, I put them in a box. We pick one random question per episode. And then you have a place at letmamalive.com. Scroll to the bottom and let me know what your answer is to these questions. Join the conversation. All right. I shook them up real good. Let me pick my question. Make sure I don't pick the same question as last time. All right. Let me read this. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe who thought of this. No, I'm just joking. I thought of this. I'm sharing. Mamas, I must confess when I answer this question.
Welcome to Confessions of a Mama.
Hey, Mama.
All right. What is the hardest personal goal you've set for yourself? What is the hardest personal goal you've set for yourself? I need a sound effect like do, 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 do. I set a lot of personal goals for myself. I am a goal setter. And so I'm a goal setter. I set a lot of goals. And some of them I don't achieve. Some of them are hard. I think that the hardest, I'll go recent. The most current hardest goal that I set for myself has been my challenge is losing weight, y'all. Losing this baby weight. From baby number two, who's 8 years old, going to be 8 this year. Yeah, I got 8 years worth of baby fat. And it's hard to get it off. And I've been struggling. And that has been the hardest personal goal I've set for myself. I'm trying to lose like 30 pounds. And I know it's possible, but it feels like it's impossible. And that's where practicing patience come into place. Because honestly, you see in areas where it's coming off, like it's coming off, and you get motivated, you get empowered, like, oh, yeah, oh, it's coming off, y'all. It's coming off. Keep working, Jen. Keep working. It's coming off. And then you had this moment of weakness where you eat something you're not supposed to eat. And it feels like, even though it's not reality, telling lies to ourselves, look at me. We just talked about this. It feels like in reality, not in reality, but it feels like nothing's changed. Like it feels like when I eat that bad thing, I've gained like 10 pounds from that one bad thing. And it could be like a drink, like a cocktail. It could be something sweet, like, some M&Ms or something crazy like that. Some fried chicken, fried fish, some French fries. I'm making myself hungry. It could be something like that. And I eat it one time out of, 2 weeks. And I feel like I've gained 10 pounds from that one meal. So that has been the hardest personal goal I set for myself. And let me tell you something, just to leave you with some encouragement. One way that I've tried to overcome this challenge is by changing my why. My why has gone from me wanting to look cute in certain clothes, wanting to lose weight, wanting to be snatched, to wanting to be healthy, especially at my big age. As you get older, it's important that you remain healthy so that you don't fall into illness. Some illnesses that our communities face are preventable, and it's only a matter of going out and walking, 5,000 steps a day, or, going to YouTube and watching a walking video and just walking in the house, or, just exercising, period, or eating a better snack, or, making these minor changes in your behavior can lead you on a path to not falling into illness. And so I had to change my why from wanting to be snatched to wanting to be healthy. But reality is that it takes a long time and it's tough. It's hard. And so, you know, this conversation, I think, will benefit me in making sure that I'm telling myself the truth. I'm using my words wisely instead of saying how hard it is, just being proud of myself for making it this far. I've tried over and over and over again. And this round a trial has been, how long has this been? It's been about 2 months, I think. A little over 2 months or so. So, you know, it's hard, but I will continue to try to reach that goal of losing this baby weight. So you tell me, what is your hardest personal goal you've set for yourself? Go to letmamalive.com, leave a comment, join in the conversation.
Hey, mama.
Hey, mamas.
Hey, mama.
That wraps up this episode of the Let Mama Live show. In the meantime, continue to be kind to yourself and always, always, always celebrate yourself through this journey of motherhood. Hey, you're doing an excellent job.
Hey, mama.
You're doing an excellent job. If you haven't heard that lately, I'm telling you, you're doing an excellent job. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. Thank you for listening. With love. Be well, mamas.
Hey, mama.